order. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to do the opening prayer this morning?
Judge, if you may, I'd like to do something a little bit different this morning.
What you got?
In honor of Grant Milton, number 21 on the Woodlands High School football team, who was seriously injured, I'd like for the court to all rise and just have a moment of silence to pray independently for he and his family and his teammates.
Sounds good.
So if you'll all bow your heads, please. All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, if you'll join me in the pledges to our American and Texas flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay. Let the record reflect that all members of court are present. Commissioners, I need a motion to approve our Commissioners' Court agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Proclamations and resolutions. We have a retirement. Is there anybody here for the retirement for Bowie? Is it coming today later? No? Okay, well, I would entertain a motion for the retirement of Bowie.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Montgomery County United Way. Morning, Sylvia.
Good morning. I have a proclamation here, Judge, but the proclamation for the person is not here yet. She's
just walked in.
Good. Okay. Okay, then I will read.
Oh, by the way.
All right. I have a proclamation for two people for their support to the Montgomery County Employee United Way campaign. One people is here, Jim. I'm sorry, Nelda, would you come up, please?
The other person is a gadget guy, and he's with some gadgets.
We have a proclamation honoring you and Jim.
That's so sweet.
So I would read this. This is, whereas Jim and Elder Blair have been an integral part of Montgomery County, sharing their enthusiasm, energy, and tireless dedication to the support and well-being of our community. And whereas Jim and Elder Blair have demonstrated their daily lives and their commitment to promoting and contributing to nonprofit organizations in the great county, knowing that they've made a difference in helping neighbors and strengthening the community. Whereas for many years, Jim and Nelda have supported, contributed, encouraged participation from the Montgomery County employees to contribute to the annual United Way campaign by generously donating prizes and drawing the names of five county employees from Santa's Red Stocking. Whereas Montgomery County employees know that although their chance of having their name drawn may be slim, they recognize the importance of helping others by way of their contribution to United Way. And whereas Jim and Nelda have maintained a positive outlook on life and encourage all citizens to participate with Montgomery County United Way to help them serve the community and realize that every person can do something to make a difference. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, Texas, does hereby recognize and appreciate Jim and Nelda Blair for their dedication and contribution to Montgomery County United Way, Montgomery County employees, and the citizens of our community.
That is so sweet. Thank you.
Congratulations.
I would like y'all to know that none of y'all have signed this.
Not until we vote on it.
We hadn't voted for it yet, right?
I move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Now we can
sign.
Motion carries. Thank you for all that you do. We appreciate you, Nelda, very much. You and Jim both.
Okay. So I'd like to introduce to you our representatives from United Way that helped us this year with the campaign. I have Mr. Tom Scott, who is the Senior Relationship Manager, Donors Relations from United Way. Come on up, Tom. And Mr. Kelvin Case from ExxonMobil United Way, who is a loaned executive to United Way.
Good deal.
These two guys are the ones that helped me get it all started for the county. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Oh, never ask a campaigner to talk. I'm going to go ahead and announce a couple of things.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right. Well, first of all, on behalf of the Board of Trustees, Montgomery County Regional Council, staff and volunteers of United Way, we want to say thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your United Way employee workplace campaign here in 2016. Thank you so very much. Had another successful campaign. I do want to take just a moment also to recognize Sylvia, who was the campaign coordinator this year. Thank you so much. It was great working with you. It was a very, very well-organized campaign, and I appreciate that so very much. Of course, there's some great news. The great news is to announce that your workplace campaign here at Montgomery County raised in excess this year of $46,000.
Wow.
So I think everybody needs to give yourself a hand for that. Thank you so much. $46,000. That's 26% participation from 45 different departments within Montgomery County. So it was a great, great campaign. We're going to be recognizing, as I mentioned, Sylvia, and also the campaign committee here in just a moment as well. And also awarding those fantastic traveling trophies. My goodness, yes. So it's just a real great honor to be a part of Montgomery County and their campaign each year, and we certainly greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Judge and Commissioners, I would like to introduce team members that I called up and said, would you help me reach out to the other departments for this campaign, and they just stepped up to the plate, and I appreciate this so much. So as I call your name, would you please come up, and we'll do a picture, too. I have Beth Dunlap of the Sheriff's Department. I don't think Beth is here. Bill Metter, Building Maintenance. Brandy Lopez, Justice of the Peace.
Thank you, sir.
Precinct 1. Claudette Evans, Juvenile Probation. Darren Bailey, County Clerk's Office. Gene DeForest, Constable Precinct 2.
I saw him. There he is.
Jerry Williams and Melissa Baker from the Library. Lorena Garcia, Director of Custodial Services. Lori Bass of the County Engineers Department. Marie Moore, Commissioner Precinct 4, Jim Clerk's Office. Miranda Huss and Gwen Wilson of Office of Emergency Management, Nate Jensen, Director of Office of Court Administration, and myself. I just can't tell you how I appreciate all the help, again, for reaching out to all the other county departments. You just can't do this by yourself. Would you please give them a round of applause?
There she is. Well, wait a second. We got to get this in. Do you know which one it was?
Marie.
There you go.
Okay. So, how do you want to? Wait, I want in the picture.
All together.
All together now.
Get together.
Do we need to get two rows?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah. All right. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, next we have the traveling trophies. The trophies are awarded to departments that have an increase in donations and an increase in participation. So this year, for employees from 1 to 10 in a department with increase in donation and participation, we have the Law Library. Please come up as I call you. Law Library. For employees, 11 through 25 employees, we have the Extension Service. for employees 26 through 50 in a department, Commissioner Precinct 2 office. And I'm proud to say for employees, 51 or more employees, second year in a row, tax assessor office. I'm going to do a picture. Okay, so Jim will do a picture. I don't know.
Get us back up against
this guy. This guy will do it.
Great maneuvering.
Thank you. Okay, Judge, last item that we have, the fun part. Again, the Blairs have always graciously donated funds to encourage the participation of the county employees to give to United Way. So, let's see, there are five drawings. If an employee donated a dollar per paycheck equals to 26 a year, then this prize is $50. So,
$50.
Right.
Oh, for lunch, for me and whoever wins.
All right.
Montgomery County District Clerk's Office, Emily Dobbs.
Okay, and the next drawing is for $100. This is $2 per pay road deduction that equals to $52 a year.
$100?
Mm-hmm. That's more than lunch.
Hey, from building maintenance, Tim Stewart.
The next one is for $300, $4 per payroll deduction check that equals to $104 a year.
Okay, that's good. Okay, all right. Yeah, got it. Commissioner Precinct 4, Marie Moore. I get blamed every year for these being rich. Marie is not my friend.
And the next one is $500. This is $5 per payroll deduction that equals to $130 a year.
There's a bunch in here, too. That's nice.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. Commissioner Precinct 3, Jackie Thomas.
All right. I'll make sure he gets this. That's great. He's been a almost 30-year employee, so that's great.
Well, that is great. Okay, and the last one we have is a grand $1,000 prize.
Ooh.
$6 per payroll deduction that equals to $156 per year.
Hey. There's a lot of people that did this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Very nice.
We're happy.
Okay. Remember, this is not rigged, whoever this
mm-hmm.
is. Veteran Services, Kathy Smith.
Oh,
okay. Again, I'd just like to thank everybody that stepped in and stepped up to the plate to help us out with that. We appreciate it.
Sylvia, thank you for your efforts. And Nelda, Maris, thank you all again for each year participating and trying to encourage participation. I know this year with the movement of United Way, it was a little bit of a challenge, but we did get some good participation, so I'm really, really happy for that. So thank you, each and every one. All right. Item D, presentation of annual interpretation 2016, Making a Difference. I want to thank the Extension Office for breakfast this morning, too. That was very nice. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Each year, our Extension offices across the state prepare an annual summary of key programs that took place in their particular counties. And you have a summary there for Montgomery County, of course. And the agents here in Montgomery County would like to provide a brief oral presentation of some of the key programs that have taken place. So first, Amy Ressler, our County Extension Agent for Family and Consumer Sciences. Amy.
Good morning. We have had a very exciting year in Family and Consumer Sciences. We've been very fortunate to add two positions this year, and one was a result of your generosity in providing a county-funded program assistant position that allowed us to extend our outreach to meet the needs of our rapidly growing population. So we've hired Josh Merrillett, and he's been working a lot with our Families Reading Every Day project.
Right. Good morning. Families Reading Every Day, this year has included about 350 families at two Head Starts and one Early Head Start locations. Statistically significant increases occurred in the amount of time parents spent reading to their children, the number of books read, and the level of parent involvement in their children's education. In addition to survey results, we hear directly from families about the impact the program makes. In fact, one mother and daughter made a scrapbook, which we have here, highlighting, you know, open that up. It was highlighting the great time they've had participating in FRED. The mom wrote us a letter in the scrapbook where she said, "Participating in this program helped strengthen our mother-daughter bond by creating special reading times and journeys to the library." It's been quite successful.
So another position that we were able to add was a Better Living for Texans Extension Assistant position. So we already have one. We had Yvonne Welther, and then we were able to add Michelle Scaife. Now these positions are totally federally funded, and you might recognize Michelle. She's been with us for a while as part of our Texas Grow, Eat, Go research project, and we were able to hire her as our BLT, Better Living for Texans Extension Assistant. Michelle?
Good morning, Commissioners. This year, 176 adult programs were delivered and 250 youth programs, including the Learn, Grow, Eat, Go project, that folded into BLT as an enrichment program in school and after school programs. I have had the pleasure to work with several groups throughout this year. One that is particularly important to me has been working with the East Texas Dream Center ladies. In this project, we saw significant improvement in the residents' nutrition habits, including in an on-site garden building that they are really enjoying right now. One of the participants said, "I've learned so much about food through that garden and learning and the recipe demonstrations."
Very good.
Yvonne?
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've also had the pleasure to work with a variety of groups throughout Montgomery County and throughout the year. One that I feel has been especially impactful is working with the Met Head Start. And we started an exercise program there, and they are continuing on their own, taking the initiative and working with families to increase their physical activity. The participants have stated that they have sloughed off a lot of pounds and are keeping it off.
And collectively, they've done 9,600 educational contacts and over 41,000 contact hours were made with over 250 adults that were completed a full series of three lessons. And so that resulted in increased basic nutrition and food safety knowledge and practice. So there's also a couple of other programs that we're really proud of that have been able to make a difference in the health and well-being of our families here in Montgomery County. And one is made possible by the generosity of United Way. They gave us a grant to do the On the Road to Healthy Living Mobile Cooking School. It's a mouthful, but it's lots of fun. We actually teach people cooking skills so that they're more likely to eat at home more often. We've been able to conduct 30 classes by the end of the year, so we've got a couple of more closing out the year. And we've done those in community centers, in shelters, in reentry programs, schools and workplaces. So we've made close to 350 contacts with that, resulting in 900 contact hours. And our surveys are showing significant increases in healthy behaviors related to food. In addition, we were creating an instructor's guide so that others can also do this program in other parts of the state. One of our Academy for Lifelong Learning residents, our class participants, an older gentleman, told me how much he appreciated the classes because he didn't think that he could cook for himself, but as a result of the classes, he has been able to. And then also, we were able to do some classes with the Eagle's Nest, Soaring Eagles group, and those men had so much fun with that program. They actually made jokes about following recipes will help them follow directions and help keep them out of trouble in the future. So, and of course, we reported back into July to you about our Walk Across Texas program. That project, we call it the Montgomery County Walk Across Texas Community Challenge, again doing that in collaboration with United Way, and we had over 1,000 people who participated in almost 150 teams with a total mileage of close to 240,000. And this creates a potential economic impact of over $7.9 million in future health care cost savings by avoiding type 2 diabetes and reducing work absences. So, gentlemen, I just want to say that we really, really appreciate your support of Extension and especially of our Family and Consumer Sciences project, and we are honored to be here and to work here and to make a difference in helping Texans make their lives better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
We were just here in September, so you've gotten most of our highlights. I do want to give a couple of updates. Our 4-H member retention, every year we start with zero enrollment in on August the 15th, and our retention rate last year has gone from 35% the year before to 41% this year. And retaining our first-year members, if we can keep them through that first year, then research shows that we can keep them through high school. So hopefully our numbers will start going back up. That is showing up at this point. Right now we have 951 enrolled in 4-H, in one of 26 4-H clubs in Montgomery County, and putting us on track for being way ahead for next year, for the end of this year. And I'll turn it over to Caroline.
Good morning again. Just to, like Michelle said, we shared a lot of our highlights with you to celebrate National 4-H Week, but just a few additional updates. As you know, our Junior Master Gardener program is one of our biggest, most active school-based programs that we support in the county. So for this year, we have approximately 800 students throughout the county that participated in Junior Master Gardener clubs at their school. And additionally, we had over 5,300 youth that were reached through a variety of educational outreach programs through the Master Gardeners, which is just a great partnership for us to have that youth-adult connection. So a very active group. For our 4-H Family and Consumer Science-based programs, we had a pretty good year this year. That's where youth learn about food, nutrition, cooking, clothing and textiles, a wide variety of activities. We had 73 4-H members participate in contests this year, all the way up to the state level, and that's a 170% increase from this past year. We had 8 members that qualified for state 4-H Roundup in some of those contest areas. And we also had a first place fashion show winner that from Montgomery County that represented Texas at the National 4-H Roundup in Colorado this year. So we're really proud of that. Another active program we have are 4-H after school programs and additional youth outreach programs. We had about 914 students that participated in 4-H programs, summer camps, leadership programs, after-school programs. Rachel Cooper is our 4-H program assistant, and so she's done a really great job as well in ramping up our after-school programs. We had 553 students participate in 4-H after-school programs throughout Conroe ISD. So thank you for your continued support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Judge Doyle, Commissioners. I've always said that
you know, wherever I go somewhere and go do a job, that I'm going to do it to my fullest. I always set goals and say, you know, eventually this will happen. Last year I mentioned the fact that eventually our Master Gardeners will get to $1 million worth of volunteer service. The good part is, we did.
Wow.
We also have a class of 43 Master Gardener interns this year who are teaching, who are taught to teach people water-wise education, the right plants, the right place, a lot of things, vegetable gardening. So we have a wide array of educators now that are coming out of this new class. This new class had over 5,600 hours that they donated back to the county. And not only that, there were 31 out of that 43 that had over 100 hours. So I have a very, very involved class. And, of course, our Master Gardeners themselves had over 38,000 hours, bringing us to the grand total of a very big check of 44,638 hours, $1 million, $51,671.28.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, yes, they are an amazing group. We have 332 Master Gardeners currently, and over a fourth of their hours right now are out doing education programs for the community.
That's the largest program in Texas, isn't it?
It is the first, and it's actually we're the second largest, we're creeping up there.
Good.
But we
good
are
job.
Still the first.
The largest.
Tarrant, I believe, is the largest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're right behind them, but we were still the first. So, so and the best. So my coworker may not like that, but that's okay. We like to banter back and forth about it. But we thank you very much for the opportunity. We have a great facility out there. A lot of people come to us and want to know, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh, this place is fantastic. You know, we're doing all the demonstrations, you know, learning new varieties of tomatoes and things people can grow. We've got a turf grass demonstration that's going in pretty soon that's going to be looking at water conservation. We also have an earth kind area that's also dealing with water conservation and environmental conservation. Okay? Thank you very much, y'all.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Good job.
Good morning, members of the court. Again, we appreciate your support of our program. On the ag side, you see all your constituents are moving in. We've got new landowners all the time. Pieces of property are being subdivided, and everybody's got an agricultural interest and wanting to get back to the roots. So we've been very fortunate to have lots of clientele to work with. In fact, we have, according to our reports, we're showing over almost 25,000 contacts this year on just the ag program side. And when we talk about our four different program areas with Master Naturalists, our pesticide, Ag Committee, Beef Improvement Association, those different groups, we've had almost 800 presentations. So they're making lots of contacts to those groups. The pesticide education is still a strong part just as far as environmental impact. We do collaborate with a lot of agencies, TCEQ and the other governmental agencies, and working with them on educational aspect. But keeping things straight and keeping our landowners practical, economical, and effective on the products they're using. Again, many, many people are trying to get involved. They want to make their operation economical, so we're spending a lot of time getting those operations up and running and budget-minded so that they can make it a profitable situation, that it's not something that they're going to lose shortly. And then, again, many of you are involved. Commissioner Riley, I know that you're involved with the equine industry, and, again, that's a growing aspect, and we've got a lot of interest in that area. Our committee is focused a lot on nutrition this last year. In fact, we've actually got a large technical large animal emergency rescue training scheduled for April, which is a national program we're going to put on in April at the fairgrounds, and it'll be first responders and educational activities like that. So we've got the opportunity to do a lot of different things. And in fact, if you're free on Thursday, we're going to do a pesticide application CEU recertification program on Thursday at our office. And kind of unique, we're going to be broadcasting this to other 17 counties in District 9 on that day. So our presenters will be in our office, and then we'll use WebEx to share that with those other counties so that those educators will get an opportunity to share with more producers out there across Erie. So again, we appreciate your support of our program, allowing us to do the things that we do. And one thing I want to do at this time is ask for our staff to be able to take a picture for you. On January the 10th, we're going to be recognized, our staff, as far as volunteer Superior Service Volunteer Team Award, and they asked us to submit a photograph of our folks in action doing things. So I thought what better backdrop would be with our Commissioner's Court and the support of our organization. So if we could get that photograph, we'll submit that, and that'll be used in our, when we're recognized on January the 10th in College Station.
Good.
So we appreciate it.
Perfect. You bet. Come on up.
Okay, guys.
You're part of the family?
Ready?
Look at all the guys on one side.
Look at them on this angle
because
of the sun.
What's that all about?
They're over here with us.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you all.
Good job.
Appreciate it. You have a great day.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for everything that you do.
Appreciate you. Well done. All right. Commissioners, under County Clerk, we need a motion to approve our Commissioners' Court minutes from the special session dated November 18, 2016.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item B, consider and approve Commissioners' Court minutes from the regular session dated November 22nd, as submitted.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Commissioners, under consent, I have two items that need to be removed and deferred. Item 9K3N on page 12 and item 9K1A and B on page 11 to be removed and deferred on page...
Hold on one second.
Whoa. What did you say while we're going there? Hang on.
Start with the first one, Judge.
The first one was 9K1A and B on page 11.
Real property county, okay. Defer those?
Deferred.
All right.
9K3N on page 12.
That's our Grandview stuff, BD?
Yes.
We're deferring that.
Yeah, we are waiting for the contract to get back to Grandview.
Oh, okay.
And okay. On MUD 99, what's the issue, BD?
Just the Fetcher sewer easement, they're not ready to, for us to keep that yet. They're,
all right.
Got
it.
Yeah, those two items are to be deferred. Now we have two items that need to be moved forward to the open agenda. On page 6, item 9C9, the last bullet point, Commissioner Nowak asked that that be moved to open. And on page 8, item 9F2D, I need moved forward.
On page 8?
Page 8, 9F2D, and on page 6, 9C9, the last bullet point. Any other changes? Do what?
Mine ain't the same there.
Yeah, I don't see 9F2D.
I don't see it. I ain't got the same.
What is, what precinct's it under?
It's under precinct 2. And it's consider and approve request from Universal Natural Gas. For a gas pipeline.
Okay. Got it.
All right,
Commissioner.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other changes that anybody has?
No, sir.
Okay. And I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda with those changes.
Move with those changes.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now, item 9C9 on page 6. Commissioner, you wanted brought forward?
Yes, sir. This is a building maintenance repair and operations supplies and equipment through the interlocal agreement with Byboard contract with Carrier Enterprise. My brother works for Carrier Enterprise, so I just want to abstain from this vote.
Okay. We have a motion.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With one abstention.
Abstain.
Okay. Item 9F2D on page 8. I ask that one be brought forward. Consider an approved request from Universal Natural Gas to install a gas line within the right-of-way of Fish Creek Thoroughfare. My wife works for a company that represents Universal Gas, so I'm going to abstain from that vote as well. So.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries with one abstention. Okay. Moves us to the citizens' comment portion of the agenda. Now, anyone has an item they would like to discuss that's on today's agenda, now would be the time to do that. We will provide time for public comment on items on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comment before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes, and questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to the department heads or elected official. Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment. An additional statement here, it is not the intention of Montgomery County Commissioners Court to provide a public forum for the demeaning of any individual or group. Neither is it the intention of the court to allow members of the public to insult the honesty and or integrity of the court as a body or members of the court individually. Accordingly, profane, insulting, or threatening language directed to the court or members of this court will not be tolerated. If this occurs, it may result in the cancellation of the speaker's remaining time and/or removal from the commissioner's courtroom. So, for those that would like to address the court on items that are on today's agenda, I have one individual signed up. Eric Yalick is signed up to speak.
Thank you, Judge Doyle and Commissioners. My name is Eric Yalick. I'm from Precinct 3. Today's Golden Hammer, and the last one of the year, goes to the citizens of Montgomery County, and that's why I've asked Bill O'Sullivan to be the representative of the citizens. The citizens are responsible for a $381 million per year county budget because we have slept. Now, let me give you three quick examples.
Y'all, what item on the agenda are we discussing here?
8 and 9. I'm about to talk about 8.
Okay.
On item 8, which is approval of the commissioner's court minutes from November 22nd, there were several actions that were taken that do not even appear in those minutes. There was the hiring of a department head for $140,000 a year. There was the firing of a department head. There was also a transfer of a county department from one particular commissioner to the entire commissioner's court. Nowhere in the minutes do those actions appear. Nowhere in any public or open action do any of those actions appear. For those reasons, the citizens slept because we didn't know about it. Now, the second thing that I'd like to bring to your attention is really under item 9 and also the third. And that is, there was a granting last week of the Boss of the Year Award. And it was based upon letters that were provided by the people in his department, which include, by the way, the payroll amounts which you have approved under agenda item 9. Those payroll amounts include the payment of comp time to a lady by the name of Bonnie Hauser for 240 hours of comp time
Period. Just a minute. That's about enough. Every time you come up here, you mention county employees. You can talk about us all you want to. You can say anything you want to about us. It's unacceptable for you to bring up county employee names. They don't have anything to do with what's going on here. They're in a slot. They make the salary they're supposed to make. And if you continue to do it, it's going to show what a small little man you've turned into.
Well,
you go
first
ahead.
Of all, Commissioner Metter, there's no question that I do need to lose some weight. But second of all, there's also no question that paying someone who should be classified as an exempt employee 240 hours of comp time, while our sheriff's department people don't get comp time even close to that, is completely unacceptable, and it's something for which the citizens have slept and we're not going to sleep anymore. Now, the final issue is that we also had a Department of the Year that was given last week. And the Department of the Year is led by someone who receives a paycheck of $196,164.57 per year. He refused to lower his salary because he didn't want to embarrass his clients, since he is the county attorney. And instead, what he chose to do was, in order to be the Department of the Year, he sent out requests
Your 3 minutes has expired.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to address Commissioner's Court on an item that was on today's agenda? Very well. Mr. O'Sullivan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I want to briefly speak about what's going on relative to the retirement of debt. I think it's an important part of the things that are going on, and I think we have to look at that and towards the future. I think we have to be aggressive in terms of savings on the budgets, and there's various things that have been put forth in regards to that. But the importance of the debt retirement is we're evidently going into a period of time where interest rates are going to start to go up. And the importance of getting that out from under us is recognized by this. I didn't quite understand why we had so much money in this pass-through when we were asking for $350 million of new debt, or what ultimately got passed, which was the $280 million. So I think that we should take this as a first step in the things that need to be done, because we're going into a period of time where interest rates are going up and we're going to have to deal with it. Part of the thing which has worked out pretty well when we, in 2015, when we passed it, the price of oil was 42 going down to 32. Well, now it's back up to 52. So that's going to have a positive impact on us. And it showed at least that thinking ahead and acting on it brings rewards. So I want to commend you on what you're doing to retire the debt, and let's look forward to getting all of this in order. Particularly, I want to see 100% of road and bridge funds go for road and bridges. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Sullivan. Any other comments on today's agenda? All right, moving forward, under item 11A, consider, discuss, and take action to join the Transportation Advocacy Group and name a funding source. Annual membership dues for 2017 for the county would be $5,000. Now, I'm a member personally of TAG. TAG is an association in Houston that looks at regional mobility in this area, tries to promote good, positive regional mobility. One of the big challenges we've had in Austin is getting funding through the legislature in competition with the Metroplex in Dallas. This group is designed and trying to advocate getting more funding in this region, and they've asked us to join them if you so desire.
I move.
Second.
Contingency.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Contingency. Motion carries. Okay, item B, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on a presentation by the financial advisor, John Roebuck. Mr. Roebuck, glad to have you with us this morning. Got some good news for us.
Yes, sir. Got a couple of presentations.
Good morning. You already know. I already know what it says.
Judge Doyle, Commissioners, John Roebuck, BOSC. We've been asked today to talk about, number one, the results of the bond sale that we sold a couple weeks ago, and give you the final savings and how many bonds we issued and what they generated in proceeds for the county. That is the first presentation I handed out that's got the final sale presentation, final pricing presentation title on there. So we'll turn to page one. As you know, I like to go through the bond market summary. This is the bond buyer index. It's a representative of bonds being sold across the country. It's a weekly average. We did sell general obligation or ad valorem tax bonds, and so it's represented there in the blue line. If you look to the far right there, we're at a 3.8. That was actually the rate when we sold the bonds. We're now at a 4.03. So rates have continued to increase since the election. We were scheduled to sell the bonds, as you recall, initially the day after the election. And with the market the way it was, we waited and entered the market once it's calmed down, and we felt like we got a good rate. Page two is a summary of the source and use of the funds. We'll start with the refunding bonds first. We sold $47.7 million in bonds to retire or pay off $48.9 million in bonds. The bonds were refunded at an average rate of a 4.771%. We sold the new bonds with a rate of 3.155%, so we were able to lower the interest costs on the bonds, the existing bonds with the new bonds. In doing so, we saved the county about $4.7 million interest cost over the next 13 years. On the new money piece,
it did not add any additional time to the payout of those.
No, it matched up completely. Now, that's shown on the next page, Judge, and I'll get to that. On the road bonds, we sold $43.7 million in bonds to generate proceeds of $80.4 million for road projects. We sold those bonds with an all-in interest rate of a 3.931%. And then on page three, we'll get into the refunding. This is the debt service requirements on the refunding bonds that we issued. Going from left to right there is the total county debt service requirements, and then we had the bonds that were refunded, or that we paid off. And then the next two columns, the principal interest on the new bonds, the refunding bonds we issued. Again, $47.7 million, and there in the yellow column on the far right is the savings. We did not extend the debt. We matched the principal up pretty much as we could. We had lower interest rates, so we saved, again, $4.7 million for the county. And then on page four is the new money bond issue. We issued, again, $73.7 million in bonds, generated $80.4 million in proceeds for the county. And then if you look at the far right there, that's the total debt service requirement after the issuance of both those bond issues. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have about the sales, but we are very pleased with the results, especially given where we started out the day after the election. So,
you feel like we hit it at the best time we could have based on...
Yes, sir. It's hard to say because the market's moving a lot more volatile than it's been in a long, long time. But we hit a day where we got a lot of interest from the market. We got some investors that came in and gave us some good rates, and we were able to achieve some savings for the county that was very, very, very strong.
Good. Any questions, commissioners?
Yes, okay. Sir.
Okay. Next topic is the do you want to go through the debt policy and the capital improvement plan?
Whatever you.
Okay.
Either way, it's fine.
We've through the judge's office, we've talked about recently after the assignment of the AAA rating by Moody's that potentially we should go forward and maybe put together some policies or procedures in place to lay out the next 5-10 years of how we'll be issuing bonds, spending that money, and the projects that are needed within the county. Talking to the judge and also Jim Fredericks, we talked about potentially putting a group together that would look at the needs of the county over the next 5-10 years, put together those projects, maybe assign a cost to them, find out the funding dates and when those monies would be needed to do those projects, and put together a comprehensive plan to present to the court and also to the community and taxpayers to show what y'all are looking to do. In addition to that, with that, also a debt policy, a formal debt policy. This formal debt policy is a recommendation by the rating companies, and what it does is spells out when the county should issue debt, and more importantly, how long, within what interest rate and range to issue the debt, and also for refundings, at what point to execute refundings, the savings targets, how far out the call dates are, and basically it's a comprehensive policy that gives a guideline for the county taxpayers and also the commissioner's court to move forward on various bond issues and refundings. And so we're going to start looking at that, and we'll work through that. I'm not sure what we're going to approve today, but if it's just a motion to move forward and start looking at this more seriously.
Yeah, I think we need to, Commissioners. A capital improvement plan would be a good planning tool for us, number one, and it would help us going forward with the rating agencies as we look at other tests as we go forward. You know, we got a AAA from Moody's, maybe a Standard & Poor's AAA would be a good thing as well. That, along with the debt service policy, I think will go a long way toward getting us there.
Great. And then the last thing I have is the defeasance of some pass-through toll revenue bonds. Let me start off by saying this is separate and apart from the defeasance you all approved a couple of months ago. We're going to refund or cash defease $3.9 million of bonds you have outstanding. We're going to use debt service fund and pay those off and retire those, and again, they'll no longer be the obligation of the county at that point. That is scheduled to take place on March 1 on the call date for those bonds. This is a separate idea, separate defeasance that we've been looking at. With the help of Commissioner Nowak's idea, and help of Phyllis Martin, your auditor, we've put together analysis here to show a cash defeasance of those pass-through toll revenue bonds. And if you'll turn to page 1, I did a quick overview of the pass-through toll agreement. In September of 2005, county entered an agreement with TxDOT to allow or assist in the funding of road projects, pass-through road projects within the county. Under the agreement, the county would issue debt, pay for these projects, and the state would pay the county 7 cents per vehicle mile traveled up to $98 million. To date, y'all have received about $81.9 million. And there in that box on the bottom, it shows the current funds you have available. The county historically put that money aside and used it to pay that debt annually to offset the burden on the tax rate. Currently, you have about $31.8 million in funds in the debt service fund, and then next year you'll receive about $16.1, which was the last payment to equal the $98 million they owe you. If you look on page 2, These are the bond issues that were issued for pass-through toll revenue bonds. We have a 2009 issue, 2010, and a 2012 issue. We have about $52.8 million of bonds that were issued for those pass-through toll revenue projects. And there you have the interest rates, they're outstanding, and the call dates. And then on page 3, this is the current plan. This is how the county uses those funds, those $47 million current funds plus expected $16 million next year, and how they'll use them currently to pay that pass-through toll revenue. The pass-through toll revenue is all the three bond series combined. Those are the first three columns, principal, interest, and total. So you get, again, $52.8 million principal. Total debt service requirements is $64.4 million of pass-through toll revenue bonds. The county will deposit enough funds in there each year to leave about $1 million to $1.4 million outstanding from the debt service fund to be paid. What Commissioner Nowak came up with on page 4 is a plan to take those funds we have in the fund balance, the $47 million, and start defeasing those bonds. Set an escrow up, deposit those funds in escrow, and pay those off. And once the county does that, they're no longer the obligation of the county. So they're off your books, it reduces your tax your debt burden, and also looks very good to the rating companies additionally. But the plan would be to, the first box there, in January 2017, we deposit $31.8 million in escrow, and it would defease $27.6 million in bonds, or about $37.3 million in total debt service requirements. And then once the $16 million comes in 2017, later next year, we would do another one for $16.1 million deposit to the escrow to pay off an additional $15.3 in bonds, which has a total debt service requirement of $16.2. At the end of the day, it would save basically $5.6 million from the taxpayers and reduce the obligation of the county from $16.4 million down to $5.6 million. It's a wise use of the money. It's sitting there idle right now. We're using it, again, on an annual basis. But this is a way to basically defease this debt and get it off the county's books.
It would eliminate all of the pass-through debt?
It would eliminate all but 2017. We're taking the bonds that are furthest out there that have the most economic sense and just defeasing as much as we can up to
what would be
the
that total?
Year.
What would be the total we'd have left?
End of the day, you'd have about, $9 million in 17 to pay.
And that would be taken care of next year. So by the end of next year,
Would we have any money coming in from the pass-through next year?
That is anticipated in
the 16
in
million.
16.1.
Yes. Judge, on page 4, it's broken out for you by year.
I wasn't sure if that was
what
that
Montgomery
16
County,
million was what would get us to
the, 16,
the final payoff.
Well, the 16.4 million dollars is currently what the county is supplementing to pay the difference between what you've received and what's owed on those bonds.
Okay, and anticipating we'll get that from TxDOT.
We'll receive an additional 16.1 next year, which will finish out the reimbursements from TxDOT.
Okay.
And we've run it through the tax rate model, and it's the same exact scenario that we showed you before with the refunding and the way the new money bonds were issued. We were able to reduce the debt what we actually initially showed you. And your health fund balance, excuse me, is still very healthy, about 40%.
Well, and that's part of the reason we set aside those dollars every year, about $4 million a year, to be able to do something like this.
Exactly.
Which has been
exactly.
It's worked out very well, actually.
So
good. Good.
So we recommend you move forward. We actually have a parameter order in front of you that would give the judge the ability, if you all approve it, to sign off it once we actually set this thing up and move forward with it.
That's item C, Judge.
Yes, item C. Phyllis, all of the pass-through funds that we've received in reimbursement from TxDOT are earmarked specifically for debt service, correct?
Yes, sir. They all sit in the debt service fund, but our debt service fund also holds funds that are needed to retire debt that's not associated with the pass-through program. But what John's brought to you here, we've worked with him on this presentation, and so what he's brought to you here, if you look on page 1, those are funds that are only associated with the pass-through toll
program.
Right.
But, I mean, in our original agreement, didn't we require that all those pass-through funds be used for debt service on those bonds?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And we have done that to date, and so that's what this would do is continue that as well.
Yeah, that's part of the reason we didn't have those funds available for projects. That money was set aside simply for debt
service.
Sure,
they couldn't be used for any other project. That's correct.
Okay. Good.
And so Mr. Dietz put together that order. He's here. If you have any questions about the order, we're asking you to approve. But our hope is with this parameter order, we're going to put some, we're going to use in a traditional escrow, we buy securities that are in interest, and the more interest we earn on those securities, actually the more bonds we can defease. And so we don't have the exact bonds we can defease right now. It's going to look a lot like what I showed you here, mm-hmm. but we're hoping to put a lot more in there
exactly.
because of the rates.
Yeah.
So with this parameter order, it gives us the flexibility to put as many bonds or defease as many bonds as possible in this first defeasance.
Good.
That's great.
Yeah. Good. Well, Commissioners, I'd like to see us go ahead with trying to put together a capital improvement plan and a debt policy. I don't know that we do. We need action on that, JD.
Judge, our office put together a debt policy some years ago, and in light of what was on today's agenda, we have taken some steps to try to get with Mr. Dietz and Mr. Roebuck on making sure that's something that still fits with Montgomery County.
Okay.
So we'll follow up on trying to put something together that could be recommended to the court on a future date.
No okay. action necessary right now. You just need to direct our office or the auditor's office and whoever to work on those policies.
Okay. Well, I'd like to see us do that, Phyllis. Good. Good.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Thank you, John. And under item C, would entertain a motion to authorize the defeasance of those bonds.
Move.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Phyllis, for your help.
Thank you.
As well.
John, thank you. All right. County Court at Law number 2, Judge Laird.
Good morning, Judge Doyle. Good morning, Commissioners. So earlier this year, the Office of Court Administration for the State of Texas undertook an audit, and they began the process statewide in Texas to audit probate courts to determine compliance with the laws regarding monitoring of guardianships and the wards under those guardianships, which, as you all know, are the citizens of our county and the state of Texas who have intellectual disabilities. As a result of that audit, County Court at Law Number 2 was named the model court for the state of Texas for compliance with making sure that measures that have been set forth by the legislature to ensure the safety and well-being of these individuals that are under court guardianships are being properly handled and taken care of. We're very proud of that. We were called before the Senate State Affairs Committee to testify as to how we had achieved that goal, so we can be of help to the state Senate State Affairs Committee and the OCA going forward to help other courts and their programming throughout the state of Texas. Part of that process involves a unique individual that works in our court that is an attorney, and that individual is unique in that she is the only person in the county, attorney in the county, that goes out, and she's been specifically tasked with checking on these individuals, making sure they're okay, making sure they're not being taken advantage of, working with state agencies, DADS, APS, different agencies, and different care providers to ensure these individuals don't drop through the cracks and aren't subject of neglect and abuse and people criminally taking advantage of them. When I set up this position, this was something new to Montgomery County. We had never had anything like this before, and as the position has gone forward through the years, I think we're 6 years, 7 years into it now, the position has really expanded. We have had trouble recruiting and maintaining a qualified person to stay in this position, and that has become of concern as of the last time we lost our court investigator, which has been within the past couple of months. So I have taken a review of the position description. I have broadened it to account for additional duties, and we are asking to close the court investigator position and open a staff attorney position, which attorney would be responsible for new tasks as well as the task of the investigator, and that would reclass the position into a different pricing category. So I'm here to reluctantly but enthusiastically ask you for additional funding to close the one position and to open a different position, to move the monies from the first position into the second position and to add monies to the second position.
Could congratulations on your recognition by the state.
I appreciate that, Judge. And when I testified in front of the State Affairs Committee and they asked how we were able to achieve this, I said one reason. I have staff that their heart is in it and they understand what they're there to do, and I have a commissioner's court that has recognized the needs of the intellectually disabled in our county and has allowed me to put that staff in place.
Well, we realize that with this guardianship comes some liability sometimes.
Absolutely.
And that needs to be taken care of, and I think this is a great start. And obviously, the salary that we have listed will not attract the kind of people that you need to do to make sure that these people are taken care of that need it. And I think it's a great idea. I move and funding source contingency.
Judge, you know, we've been pretty hesitant in the past to add additional staff. Was there a reason we didn't look at this at budget time? Has something come up since?
Yes, sir. And I apologize. I am a stickler for the rules. I understand the reluctance to take up these things mid-budget. I will tell you, it has been several months since I submitted my budget, and it will be several months until I am able to submit another one. And it was only with the loss of the last court investigator that I had that comments were made during the exit interview that made me really start to ponder whether I had correctly positioned this position to begin with. I think when it started, it was, but I think as it's grown and expanded, and I'm afraid that if I don't, it's like a machine that the coil is starting to roll out of it, and I'm not sure if I'm going to make it to the next budget session before it breaks.
No, I fully support what you're doing. I just want to make sure that if we can, we look at it at budget time, but in a case like this, you wouldn't have seen that coming.
So. Yes, sir. I didn't see it coming until we lost the last employee.
So what would the total salary be for this new staff
attorney? The total salary would be a flat $100,000, which is in line with the staff attorneys.
Doty, is that in line?
Okay. Any other questions, commissioners? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion
Thank
carries.
You. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Sheriff.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Sheriff Gage wasn't able to make it today, so under 13A, I'd ask that you consider and approve the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office application to TxDOT for the Impaired Driving Mobilization Step Grant and Step Funding from TxDOT in the amount of $19,815.66. Funds were made available to the Sheriff's Office pre-application. Matching funds of $6,462.07 will be funded from the Sheriff's Budget 5601-75985. Individuals participating in the grant will be paid at a rate of time and a half while working the program.
Move.
Second.
This is a continuation of the...
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
IDM grant.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And under 13B, consider and accept the FY 2017 Memorandum of Understanding between the Sheriff's Office and the Marshal Service in the amount of $60,000. Funding is for overtime with benefits funded from 5601-75985. Another continuation program. This is overtime for the SWAT unit, deputized as U.S. Marshals.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay. District Attorney.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
We're asking the court to consider under 14A, consider and approve the TxDOT no refusal grant application for the District Attorney's Office in the amount of $143,603.07 with a match of $95,048.27 for a total amount of $238,651.34. Match to come from the District Attorney's Office, authorized Tyler Dunman to apply electronically on behalf of the Montgomery County. With that, consider and approve an exemption to Montgomery County Policy 5.1-7 and 5.1-9, authorizing payment to exempt employees and program eligible employees in reference to the no refusal TxDOT grant, allowing for overtime payment for employees working no refusal weekends at a rate of $55 an hour for a paralegal investigator and $80 an hour for assistant district attorneys to be paid out of the grant funds.
Move.
Second.
Then this is continuation of
the... Yes, sir. This is a continuation of the TxDOT grant we've had for about 6 years. This will be our seventh year, obviously addressing the needs of Montgomery County as far as DWI. I don't know if the court... I did send a study that was done by Texas Transportation Institute, which was fairly disheartening, shows that we're continuing to lead the state in DWI fatalities. This grant is a huge part of us being able to combat that. I know that Sheriff-elect has some ideas on enforcement that we look forward to working with him on. But across the board with fatalities, as well as all crash categories, we're leading the state. Our average BAC is about a 0.17, almost a 0.18. Statewide average blood alcohol concentration is a 0.15. So we're concerned, but we're hoping that this effort continues to address that.
And Judge, just to speak on that a little bit, eventually, and I am speaking with Sheriff-elect Henderson, at times it is frustrating and it is disheartening because we're here every year. It's not a lack of aggressive prosecution. I think people can speak to the fact of the aggressive prosecution, so much so that we've been, you know, highlighted in the Chronicle and Texas Monthly for having a higher percentage of people in prison for life sentences for multiple DWIs. And so we continue to run the banner, but I know I feel like I sound like a broken record because people think this is what we do mainly, but when you come back to the numbers over and over again, fatal crashes, Montgomery County leads the state 46% as opposed to 39% statewide average. Incapacitating crashes, 22% Montgomery County, 15% average across the state of Texas. Non-incapacitating crashes, 13% Montgomery County, 9% across the state. Possible injury crashes, non-injury crashes, unknown severity crashes. Montgomery County is at a higher percentage. The one thing that Tyler keeps saying is we're at a higher BAC. Our drunks are drunker than the statewide average. And the higher the level of intoxication is, the more likely you are to be involved in an accident. And so everybody knows the person who is slightly buzzed as a person opposed to the person who was commode-hugging drunk. And the commode-hugging drunk seems to be what we have a lot of in Montgomery County. Now, there is some good news in this report. Almost 60% of those crashes have speed as a factor. Either they're traveling too fast or they're traveling at an unsafe speed. And so, of course, now we've got DPS rotating to the border, so we're understaffed with DPS. We've asked, you know, for some help from the state. But traffic enforcement, one of the things that that Constable Hayden and I had spoken about several months ago was he believed that speed kills, and so it's something that he's starting to highlight. So there are some things, but it starts with traffic enforcement. And, you know, Judge, eventually you're going to have to assemble a blue ribbon panel because this is not the category we want to lead
no,
in.
No, it's not.
And kind of plumb out ideas other than putting people in prison.
Well, I mean, certainly I support what you're doing here. Any clues as to why we're...
The speed, I
think it's some environmental factors. People go off the road, they hit pine trees.
Higher blood alcohol content.
Higher BAC, that's hard to understand, honestly. I think it has to do with, we have a lot of great things going on in the county. People come in to be involved in and enjoy. So with that, I think they're getting on the roadways to head out different directions and we're catching them. I think, and again, something that the sheriff, I think, is thinking about as well, is most counties our size have dedicated law enforcement officers who strictly do DWI enforcement. We don't have that. Our sheriff's deputies are on, taking calls. They can't devote time to specifically look for drunks and use this kind of data to be effective. And that's the next step in what we need. When you look at counties our size, most agencies have some type of dedicated unit devoted to DWI enforcement. I'm hoping that's what's coming, and I think that's the only missing piece we don't have for a lot of this data. So,
thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Conroe North Airport, Scott.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 15A, consider and if appropriate, approve the carryover of $30,000 from the remaining fiscal year 2016 funds in 629141-7419, which is Customs Professional Services, transfer to 629141-7419 for fiscal year 2017. This is for the estimated overtime charges in fiscal year 2017 incurred by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, pursuant to the Memorandum of Agreement dated April 16th, 2016. So this is, this money was unspent last year because of the schedule in getting customs open, and now we're getting a handle on the percent of clearings that are overtime versus regular hours. So this transfer would cover us for this budget year on overtime charges, and it is a no net cost at the end of the budget year because we charge the customers the
overtime. Okay, so they do pay the, they pay this fee.
Yes, sir.
Ultimately, and if it's an overtime charge, it's passed through to the client.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're just now building that history.
Perfect. As long as they're paying for it, that's.
I move.
Thanks.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Community development. Dr. Duchamp.
Good morning. I'd ask that you consider, approve, and authorize Judge Doyle to execute 2016 CDBG grant agreements with the Society of Samaritans and a 26 home grant agreement with the Walker Montgomery Community Housing Development Organization, which is our CHOTO. It's $50,000 for SOS. It's a mandatory set aside of $71,000 for the CHOTO.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. County Auditor.
You may recall that several of us came to the Commissioner's Court talking about the creation of a finance system search committee. And at the time, we told you that we would come back in the future after we had narrowed the field of respondents to request for proposals and ask for two members of the Commissioner's Court to join a part of that search committee to form a selection committee to help make a final recommendation to the Commissioner's Court. And so we have had on-site vendor demonstrations. The affected departments have all come and had a lot of very good value to offer to those meetings and those demonstrations. It's been narrowed down and we're going for site visits now. What we'd like is two members of the Commissioner's Court to be on that selection committee. We're not necessarily asking that they go to the site visits, but that they hear more detail in a much more lengthy format than we would probably present to the Commissioner's Court, which would be a final recommendation.
Yeah. Since most of the departments affected by that or in this building, I'd like to be on that committee.
I'd volunteer, Judge.
Okay. We have a motion for.
I move, Judge and Commissioner Miller.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Purchasing.
Morning, Judge, Commissioner.
George.
On 18A, as authorized by Local Government Code 271-102, take all appropriate action to approve the purchase of two 2017 Dodge Charger with options through the interlocal agreement with Byboard with Grapevine for a total amount of $51,980 with a $400 Byboard fee included for Sheriff's Office.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I would like to request item 18B and 18C to be only one motion.
Okay.
Take all appropriate action to approve the award for the following: replacement of existing DX HVAC system for building maintenance animal shelter with TAS Mechanical Inc. DBA Total Air in the amount of $578,750. Mobility improvement for Vernon Woods Drive for Precinct 3 with Angel Brothers Enterprises in the amount of $1,296,845.36, and RFP Drug Alcohol Screening Services for Adult Juvenile Probation with Avertest for a term contract.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
18D. Take all appropriate action to approve granting a discretionary exemption for personal or professional service as authorized by Government Code 262-024-A4 for engineering services for the widening of Woodlands Parkway and left turn lane extension of Kirkendall Road in the amount of $98,000 from Fisher and Arnold for Precinct 3.
Move.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
George, can you hold on a second? Phyllis, on the mobility improvement for Burnham Woods Drive for Precinct 3, right now the intent of that is to be paid from current cash on hand.
but it's also a project that's listed as a potential bond project if we have enough remaining funds. Would now be the appropriate time to seek a reimbursement resolution, or can you bring that back to court on next court?
The requirement is that we bring it back to court within 60 days of the funds being spent. We've traditionally tried to do that within the time of the encumbrance.
Okay.
That way we can capture the entire anticipated expenditure, not just what we actually spent as we do it and piecemeal it. So
yeah, if you could bring...
Would you like to just communicate? So you do want that to be under the bond program?
If there's enough available funds from the projects that are being, I want to wait to see if how the rest of the projects come in budget, and if they come in under budget, use that money to pay for it.
We'll talk about the timing of it, because if we pay the expense out of current funds, we would have to file our reimbursement resolution within 60 days.
Of the time it's completed?
Of the time that it's actually spent, yes,
okay.
Sir.
So you still got time? Regardless.
I still have enough time to look at it to see.
Absolutely. You and I can talk over the course of the next month and see how the expenditures come out of the bonds and see if that's something that you want to pursue at that time.
Pay it now. Shortfall of anything else out of your budget?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't want to make sure the rest of the projects are fully funded. This is just kind of one of those that...
Yep.
All right. Thanks, George.
Okay. Item E.
18E, take all appropriate action to approve the following change order 1 to Triple B Services for Rayford Road and I-45 intersection improvement for additional traffic control items in the amount of $66,655.23 and an increase in contract time of 2 days for Precinct 3.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
18F, take all appropriate action to approve any negotiations with the highest evaluated vendor and begin negotiations with the second highest evaluated vendor for CSP Empowerment Resource Center Remodel Warehouse for Montgomery County Community Development.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. County Attorney, BD. Okay, we need to take a 5-minute break while she changes the CDs.
Why can't we get up?
All right, we've got a new disc in and ready to go. Commissioners, let's get back on track here. All right. County Attorney, Real Property, BD, you're up.
You must be hungry, Judge.
Barely got back up here.
Yes, good morning, Judge. Session. Under item 19A1, ask you to consider and take appropriate action on proposed interlocal between Montgomery County and Harris County for repairs to the Decker Prairie Rose Hill Road Bridge. This is to pay for the 20% local funding split between Harris County and Montgomery County. Montgomery County's portion is approximately $73,257.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I'm not sure if we need a funding source on that or not.
It'll come out of my budget. I'll bet.
Under 19A2, consider and take appropriate action on the First Amendment to a previous interlocal between Montgomery County and Westwood Magnolia Parkway Improvement District regarding Honey Egypt Lane, and this is for the installation of the traffic signals at Honey Egypt and Sendero Ranch Road.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, we now need to recess our Commissioner's Court and convene public hearings first in Precinct 1.
Consider to approve the partial revision to lots 229 and 230, Block 69. Of Walden on Lake Conroe, Section 15, to be known as Walden on Lake Conroe, Section 15, replat number 2.
This is to reconfigure two lots, we have HOA approval letter on that.
Is anyone here to discuss this morning? No.
Okay. Precinct 2.
Under Precinct 2, public hearing, the first B1 is to consider and approve a partial revision to all of unrestricted reserve B Grand Lake Estate Section 1 and unrestricted reserve A, Grand Lake Section 4, to be known as Grand Lake Estate Section 2. This is to create two residential lots out of the restrictions, and with the HOA has signed the replat.
You want to hear discuss that?
Okay. Item B2.
Under item B2, this is consider and approve partial revision to all of a 20.3926 acre tract in the Springer survey, also being a portion of a replat of some lots in Lakewood Estates Section 1, to be known as the Fountains at Jacob Reserve Section 2. This one, the plat is not before you. There's some other additional things that need to be done on it. We have not received any approval or any communication back from the Homeowners Association at this point, though this is the noticed public hearing for it. So the plat's not ready to be approved, but we also have not received anything with regard from the Homeowners Association.
Can we recess this public hearing?
What I suggest, since the public hearing's been noticed, what we can do is recess this public hearing, and after we receive feedback from HOA, we will bring it back to carry forward to reconvene the public hearing.
You want to reconvene this one, or
we need to recess this one until a later time. I expect we'll reconvene it on the 10th, on the a week from today, on the 20th.
Okay, remind me.
We shall.
Okay.
We'll put an agenda item on when it's time to reconvene.
We have precinct three. Consider and approve changing the name of Lake Shadows Drive to Bloomingfield Lane North, Kendall Ridge Lane. Bloomingfield Lane North of Kendall Ridge Lane in Meadows at Imperial Oaks Recreational Reserve. Is anyone here to discuss that?
Okay, we now need to recess then this this public hearing. Correct, BD? Is that what you want to do?
Well, you need to recess the public hearing on item 20B2.
Okay, so recess on item 20B2, reconvene our court to take action. The other items need action?
I do not believe 20A1 needs action. That will come from the engineer when the plat is approved. I believe it's the same as 20B1 unless there's a subsequent agenda item for approval.
Okay. You want
to and so I move on 20C1.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Whew. Commissioner Precinct 2.
Consider and approve the following positions changes as listed below.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Precinct 3.
Consider and accept the 2016-2017 Intelligent Transportation System Network Upgrade LIP Grant for Commissioner Precinct 3. Fiscal year end 16 funds in the amount of $10,017.57. Fiscal year 17 funds in the amount of $75,481.68 for a total of $85,499.25. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Then second, we'll if you'll turn on this little computer real quick, consider, discuss, and if appropriate, take action on animal shelter update. What we quickly want to do is just introduce the new animal shelter director, Mr. Charles Jackson.
Not a doctor yet.
He acts with the in the capacity of a doctor as far as leading the facility, not medically speaking, but this man has the vision and the skill set necessary to take this shelter forward.
Not a doctor, but he stayed at the Holiday Inn last night.
Yeah, yeah. No, right.
So, Evan, if you want to do the whichever one you want to show first, it's fine. We've had a lot of interest in the community. This will show us kind of activity over the last week in the animal shelter.
All of my cares just fall away. It's like a dream. I've never seen a brighter day. Thank you.
This is part of the social media outreach we're doing to educate the public on the status of the shelter each and every week. And Alex Bunch, who is a chief marketing officer down in the Woodlands, is creating these messages for us based on information he's getting from the animal shelter. Next is a quick video introducing Charles Jackson, and then he's going to have a quick presentation for us.
That's me, by the way. It's an accurate representation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. Beautiful.
With that, welcome, Dr. Charles Jackson.
That's all right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Feel free to clap. That's great. So
I'll move this back up. Can everybody hear me okay? So thank you, Judge, and thank you, Commissioners, for allowing me to be here today. Yesterday was my first day at the shelter, and it could not have been better. It was fantastic. In the morning, we had a great staff meeting. We talked for about an hour with the staff. Commissioner Nowak was out there along with Evan, and we provided donuts to the team at lunch. Laura McConnell and her group actually brought lunch. Good. So I'm certain I'm going to gain 20 pounds at this rate, right? I'm going to be the biggest animal shelter director in the state of Texas. But we had a fantastic first day. We had the shelter is now responsible. Everyone at the shelter is now responsible for the daily cleanliness. It's no longer one team. It's an entire unit. So we have ACOs, we have vet techs, and we have animal care technicians cleaning the shelter every single day. We're going to be the beacon of excellence in shelter care in the state of Texas. That's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. But that's what's going to happen. And that's what we're here to talk about today. So we put together a mission, a vision, and some core values for the shelter. And so that's what I'm going to show you here. So it says, our mission at MCAS, we're dedicated to engaging the hearts, hands, and minds of the community to help animals in Montgomery County. As such, we are devoted to the humane, efficient, high-quality care of animal shelters, our animals in our shelter. People ask me all the time, Charles, are we going to be a no-kill shelter? It's a question I get all the time. And the answer is maybe. The answer is maybe. There's really no such thing as a no-kill shelter. It's called a no-kill community. It's a no-kill community. If the community becomes engaged in the shelter, then yes, there's no doubt about it. If just 4% of our residents in Montgomery County show up at the shelter, we won't have any animals left. Just 4% of the population of Montgomery County shows up. We'll have no animals in the shelter. It's one of the only businesses in the world that you're trying to work yourself out of a job. I would love to be unemployed. I would love for someone to show up and say, Charles, we don't have any homeless animals left. Everyone is a responsible pet owner. Let all the animal control officers go. We don't get any calls anymore. We have nothing going on. I would love that. I'd love for someone to show up and say, I'd love to adopt your dog, but we don't have one. So we've got to get the community involved. And once the community gets engaged, that's when we can begin that discussion. Our mission, we will promote and protect public health and safety. We'll commit to industry best practices as it pertains to animal care, shelter management, pet placement programs, pet ownership education, and animal law enforcement. We'll be transparent and build trust in our community. We'll be a humane organization that promotes the inherent value of every animal, practicing and promoting the principle that every life is precious. And last and definitely not least, we will strive to end shelter killing by collaborating with volunteers, rescue groups, other humane organizations, private entities, and our constituents. Our mission. These are imperative. We talked about this a lot yesterday with the staff. For our staff, this is going to be key for us being successful at the animal shelter. Number one is customer service. Animals can't talk. We're going to be the voice for them, but people can. All right? People can. We want to make sure that our customers, when they come to the Montgomery County Animal Shelter, they get treated just like they do at Chick-fil-A. You know what happens when you go to Chick-fil-A? I go there a lot. I know it's hard to tell, but I go there a lot. You go in and you ask for something, and what do they say? Everyone together? My pleasure. That's right. They say my pleasure. Right? I know it wasn't their pleasure to wake up and make me number 312 count with a large Dr. Pepper, large fry, but I sure feel like it when I go up there. They're like, my pleasure, Charles, no problem. We're going to be that animal shelter. When people come in, they're going to want to see us. They're going to want to be a part of us. They're going to enjoy being around our staff. That's going to be us. Customer service will be our number one mission priority. Number two will be live release, and this is what we talk about. Every decision we will make will revolve around the desire to see every animal in our care find a loving home. We will endeavor to remove barriers to animal placement and make the adoption, transfer, rescue, and return to owner processes as customer-friendly as possible. Every decision we make, we'll say, how does this help our customers? How does this save more lives? And if it doesn't do that, then we're not going to do it. So those two mission priorities, every employee will know them, and that's how we're going to make the decisions at Montgomery County moving forward, animal shelter. This is our vision. Our vision is to be the nationally recognized model of excellence in animal care and placement, where humane organizations throughout the United States see Montgomery County Animal Shelter as the beacon of best practices dedicated to delivering humane, efficient, and high-quality service. In addition, we long to see the day when shelter killing no longer exists. We're not just going to be great in the Houston area. We're not going to be great in Southeast Texas. I want people throughout the country to come visit us and say, Charles, how did you do it? How did you guys come together as a community? How did you start saving so many animals so quickly? That's what we're going to be. We're going to be the experts in shelter management. These are core values. These are the same core values I had in the Air Force, and I use them personally, and I've used them professionally. And these are going to be our core values at the animal shelter. Number one is integrity first. Without integrity, we have nothing. We are going to be a place of integrity. And this is how I define integrity. Integrity is defined as doing what is right even when no one is looking. even when you can't get caught, you still do what is right. That's called having integrity, and that's the organization we're going to be. Service before self, and this is a tough one for a lot of employees. And this is the one that I have to really push the most. Service before self, we're placing the needs of our customers and pets above our own needs and ambitions. It's hard because you say, well, I'm here getting paid, aren't I? I'm just here to do a job. No, it's much more than that. So working at an animal shelter is a calling. It's something that you want to do. It's part of that public service ethos. It's something that you want to be a part of. So you put your own and needs and ambitions to the side to help our animals and our customers. And last and definitely not least, and this is going to be our motto moving forward, excellence in everything we do. We are Montgomery County Animal Shelter, and we're going to practice excellence in everything that we do. We will seek perfection and find excellence along the way. Excellence is a byproduct of the endeavor to find perfection, okay? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be an organization. When people come to us, they say, this is an organization that's built on excellence. That's all I got.
I'm so excited. I want to come work for you.
Come on down. Yeah. We got a job as an animal care technician.
I'll
Commissioner.
Do it.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mr. Jackson.
Thank you.
There's a lot of great positive things happening in Montgomery County. It sure is good to hear positive energy and positive excitement about that shelter. I know there's a lot of people that are excited that you're there. A lot of people that are really willing to get involved and roll up their sleeves and appreciate the effort that you're putting forward and working with everybody out there.
And you know that they're excited because they're not here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Precinct 4.
Consider to approve funding for the salary payoffs associated benefits from 615-7340 to appropriate salary line items as listed above. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. We now need to recess our Commissioner's Court and convene a meeting of the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority. Under item 22A, go ahead, BD, if you want to take that one. Consider and take appropriate action on change orders supplement to legal service agreement between MCTRA and the Mueller Group for State Highway 249 corridor.
And Rich Mueller's here if you have any questions. Basically, this is Mr. Mueller's been engaged to help with the Montgomery County Toll Road, and this is to increase them for some additional services that they anticipate doing in the future. He's met his not to exceed amount of the contract over the last 2 years, I believe he's been engaged.
Move.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I need to adjourn this meeting of our Montgomery County Toll Road Authority, reconvene our Commissioner's Court so that we can recess our Commissioner's Court for executive session under Article 551071 and 551072. Bring the court back to order, please. Out of executive session, we have three items. We need a resolution and order to settle claim number A-16-0039.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We need a resolution in order to defend the sheriff and the district clerk in case number 116-CV-1181.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. And we need a motion for a resolution in order to defend the district attorney and others in case number 416-CV-3357.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, we now come to the time in our agenda when someone can have the time to make a comment on items not on today's agenda. We have no one signed up to speak. If anyone would like to, now would be the time to do so. Anyone? Okay.
Off you move.
Seeing none.
Under miscellaneous, Judge, two quick things. One, it has been stated to me that there are other elected officials and department heads that may have a request for vacation payouts to be approved. Mm-hmm. I suggest that they should bring those to court on the 20th if they want to have those considered. And then secondly, the Woodlands High School football team is going to be playing in the state champion playoff game Saturday, 8 o'clock. And so I just want to wish them luck, and it should be a fun time for them.
Same thing about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know everybody's been watching The Voice. That's our favorite show right now. Sundance Head is from East Montgomery County. He's from Porter. His father, Roy Head, was quite famous back in the 60s, 70s, even into the 80s. And we just want to support Sundance, and we think he's going to win, and get on and vote for him.
All right. Okay. Will do.
Well, in spite of some of the things that have occurred through the year, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. We have one more court next week. Look forward to that. Look forward to some great news again every time out of the animal shelter. And any good news anyone has to bring to court, we would welcome at any time. So, thank you. Y'all have a great day.
Merry Christmas.
Okay.